making their Bayreuth debuts. Fiona Maddox was there. She joins me to relive an unforgettable first night as we eavesdrop on that very performance. Wagner's Lohengrin with Lab Rats from A New Generation at Bayreuth. That's Opera on Three this evening from 6 here on BBC Radio 3.
BBC Radio 3 is on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio, and it's also online. Just gone 1 o'clock, time for the news from Ian Skelly.
A British woman who'd been held hostage in Afghanistan for 2 weeks has been killed by her captors during a mission to rescue her. Linda Norgrove, who was a 36-year-old aid worker from the Western Isles, was captured 2 weeks ago by militants in the remote province of Kunar. She died before American forces could complete a rescue mission last night. The Foreign Secretary, William Hague, called it a tragedy that Miss Norgrove had been killed whilst doing the job she loved in a country she loved. 4 Italian soldiers have been killed in western Afghanistan. It's thought they were ambushed as they returned to their base in the province of Farah. Their deaths bring the number of Italians killed there in the past 6 years to 34. Engineers working to reach 33 Chilean miners stranded underground say they're very close to reaching the chamber in which they're sheltering. Mining engineers say it will take another 2 hours to drill through to the men and a further 3 or 4 days to bring them to safety. The Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Danny Alexander, has defended the government's programme of spending cuts. Earlier, his fellow Liberal Democrat minister, Chris Huhne, suggested the course of the cuts might change depending on the state of the economy. The son and former partner of Rachel Nickell, who was murdered on Wimbledon Common in South London, are to receive no compensation from police who've admitted mishandling the case. Ms. Nickell's killer, Robert Napper, was convicted last year. Scotland Yard has acknowledged that Napper, who was a serial rapist, could have been caught 3 years before her death. Police haven't given a reason for refusing compensation to Andre Hanscom and his son Alex. The NHS in England says hundreds of children may have been wrongly told they're overweight because of a computer error. Officials said 2,500 children in reception and year six had been placed in the wrong category by the National Child Measurement Programme last month. And the weather, most places will stay cloudy with occasional outbreaks of sunshine this afternoon. Tonight will remain overcast and misty with temperatures mild in the breeze. And that's the BBC News and the weather. It's 2.5 minutes past one.
And now the early music show. Here's Lucy Skeeping.
On today's show, highlights of a concert given in Prague, part of the annual Summer Early Music Festival. There's a wealth of fabulous performance venues in the city, from monasteries and churches to the gardens of some of the finest castles and palaces, where audiences can enjoy the delights of Baroque music in beautiful historic settings. The concert we're featuring today comes from the Hvezda Pavilion, an extraordinary hexagonal building, more or less in the shape of a star, that stands in the gardens of the old palace of Ferdinand I, dating back to the mid-1500s. The performers are an Austrian-based group, Echo du Danube, they call themselves, after a much-loved collection of viola da gamba sonatas published in the early 18th century. And it's certainly an apt name for them because their director, Christian Zinka, is himself one of Europe's most highly acclaimed players of the gamba. We're going to hear him in action right away as he leads the rest of the ensemble in a piece by that great English composer of the Tudor period, John Dowland. In fact, it's Dowland's arrangement of an anonymous ballad tune of the time entitled Fortune My Foe. And from what we know about Dowland's character, perhaps it's not surprising he chose it. Semper Dowland, semper dolens, he said of himself. Always Dowland, always doleful. And indeed, in its day, this simple melody was closely associated with some of the most miserable ballad lyrics you can imagine. Solemn accounts of murders, warnings of doom and deathbed confessions, all of them were set to Fortune My Foe. It's followed here by Farinelli's Ground, a set of variations over traditional bass pattern, also known throughout Europe as La Follia, but more of that later. Here's Echo du Danube.
Thank you. Thank you.
The ensemble Echo du Danube, starting off with a set of two English pieces, the anonymous Farinelli's Ground and Fortune My Foe, set by that great lutenist of the Tudor and early Stuart period, John Dowland. We move to Italy for our next music, and again, the two pieces we'll hear are constructed around a predetermined bass pattern, or ground bass. This was a popular device for composers, rather like a 12-bar blues sequence nowadays. It offered players the chance to improvise and invent a melody that could change and develop as the bass pattern repeated itself round and round. The second piece we're going to hear is a sonata by Dario Castello, one of the composers at the forefront of what was known as il stile moderno, a new modern kind of lyrical style that emerged in the early 1600s. Actually, Castello is quite an elusive character. The only information we have comes from the title pages of his two collections of sonatas, which tell us that he was a musician at St. Mark's Cathedral. Traditional sort of job, you might think, but Castello's music was extraordinarily forward-looking for its time, powerful and emotional stuff, full of contrasts in tempo and dynamics, all very modern. His sonatas are suitable for just about any combination of instruments, and this one I think is particularly effective. Psaltery, a harp, lute and viola da gamba, marking out the bass pattern. In fact, so keen was Castello to encourage even the most unconfident of amateur players to enjoy these pieces, he prefaced his book with the following. If at first sight they appear difficult, one should not be discouraged, for with practice they will become easy to those who delight in them. First, though, a capriccio from Giovanni Battista Vattali, another of the Italian New Wave composers. You'll hear the repeating ground bass pattern very clearly in this one. It's stated first on the psaltery, like a little peal of bells. Then it's taken over by the bass viol, while the lute and the harp improvise over the top.
Thank you.
Sonata No. 2 by Dario Castello from his 1629 collection, Sonata Concertate in Stile Moderno. And before that, a Capriccio by Giovanni Vitali. The performers all through the programme are Echo du Danube, part of their concert given in the Prague Summer Early Music Festival. This next set features the group's lutenist, Michael Duca, with a solo piece by Giovanni Girolamo Capsburger. Born in Venice of a German father, Capsburger moved to Rome, where he became involved with several academies, melting pots for new ideas. It wasn't long before he got in with the highly exclusive papal circle, though, working closely with the Pope's nephew, Cardinal Barbieri, who supported him and his family for many years. Of course, with connections like that, it was natural that Capsburger would compose a lot of religious works. But ultimately, it's for his music for plucked instruments, the lute and the chitarrone and the theorbo, that he's best remembered. His Toccata No. 1 is a free-ranging sort of display piece in which the player can show off his technique with trills and ornaments, slides and all sorts. It's preceded here by an enchanting little melody by Andrea Falconieri, played on the bass viol by the director of the group, Christian Ginka.
Thank you.
Toccata number 1 by Capsburger, played on the lute by Michael Duker. And before that, Suave Melodia by the Neapolitan songwriter Andrea Falconieri. Highlights from this concert given in Prague by Echo du Danube. The group called their programme Always a Bit of Madness. Why? Well, as we've heard, quite a number of the pieces are written upon a ground bass or ostinato bass, and none of those was more famous, more widespread throughout Europe than La Folia. Originating in Portugal as far back as the 1400s, La Folia can be loosely translated as a folly or a mad dance. In fact, it was said to have been so fast and so furious that the dancers seemed to be literally going out of their minds. This next piece is based on the La Folia chord sequence. It's by Santiago de Murcia, a Spanish guitarist employed from the beginning of the 1700s as a musician and instrument maker to the royal family in Spain. Murcia often used popular dance forms in his music, and this fandango gives us a variety of instrumental textures, in particular the psaltery, which shimmers and tinkles almost like a piano. psaltery player Elizabeth Zeitz, leading the ensemble in two pieces from 17th century Italy, a Chacona by Bernardo Storace that we've just heard, and before that a Fandango on La Follia by Santiago de Murcia. You're listening to the Early Music Show here on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping. And highlights from a concert of Baroque music given in Prague by the Vienna-based ensemble Echo du Danube. Their next set features all Spanish music. Luis Milan was a devoted player of the vihuela, an early kind of Spanish guitar, and he wrote some wonderful songs and instrumental pieces for it, many of which are still part of the guitar repertoire today. His Fantasia here is played on the harp by Johanna Zeitz. After that, and to end the set, another improvisation over the La Follia bass sequence, a piece by the 16th century composer Diego Ortiz. But first, to start this set of three, a short galliard by Lucas Ruiz de Rebaith, a lively rhythmic piece which the group have arranged so that each instrument gets a chance to feature. It's from a collection Rebaith published in the 1670s, which brought together many popular melodies from Italy and Spain, and from the New World too, which the composer himself visited. A Lantern and a Guiding Star was the title of the collection, reflecting perhaps the great spirit of exploration of the age.
Thank you.
Three pieces performed by Echo du Danube, a Viennese early music ensemble with the unusual lineup of harp, played by Johanna Zeitz, psaltery, played by Elisabeth Zeitz, Michael Duca, the lutenist, and bass viol, played by their director, Christian Zinka. Well, time's nearly up, so just one more set of three short pieces from their concert, and again, it's all Spanish music. The middle piece is another dance from the collection by Rubaiyat that I mentioned earlier. Set above a ground bass, the instruments kind of cascade up and down the scale with a pluck texture that's really thrilling. And the last piece is a lively tarantella, a dance which, legend has it, owes its origins to the poisonous bite of the tarantula spider. Apparently the only cure for the sickness was a daily dose of music and dancing. But first, in this final set, Fandango by Vicente Adan, which opens with a psaltery flourish. It's joined by the harp and lute, and finally the bass viol marks out the bass line. It's a gorgeous feast of plucking, definitely one of my favourites today.
Thank you.
Tarantella by the Spanish composer Diego Fernandez de Huete, ending the highlights of that concert by Echo du Danube. The Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping, and in tomorrow's programme, Lucy will be looking at the life and music of the 18th century composer Thomas Arne. That's at the same time, just after 1 o'clock.
As Argentina celebrates the 200th anniversary of its independence, BBC Radio 3's World Roots uncovers the rich musical cultures that span this vast nation. We start our trip in Buenos Aires with the most iconic of Argentinian music, the tango.
Tango is one of the more beautiful musics we know. It's a mix of immigration, it's a mix of African elements, and its rhythm. Milonga and tango are African words.
Musicians who have explored the rich history of the tango, both as a key to its future, but also to their place in modern Argentine society. World Roots in Argentina, this afternoon at 3 on BBC Radio 3.
And since it's 2 o'clock at the moment, that makes it an hour to go. But now we have a second chance to hear last Monday's Radio 3 lunchtime concert, which is introduced by Fiona Talkington.
Playing Beethoven is to be made aware of the pain and joy of being alive, says the American pianist Jonathan Biss, a former Radio 3 New Generation artist, who's here at Wigmore Hall today performing an all-Beethoven concert. Two sonatas, either side of the Opus 126 set of bagatelles. Beethoven is more than just a composer, says Jonathan. He's a life force, demanding, confrontational, ever concerned with life's greatest mysteries. Possessed of a personality so strong, it threatens to render all that surrounds it invisible. Ending today's concert, we'll hear one of Beethoven's last sonatas, the E major, Opus 109. But Jonathan Biss begins with one written by Beethoven in his late 20s, the C minor, Opus 10, number 1, with its dramatic opening putting us in mind of Mozart's great C minor sonata. And applause now for Jonathan Biss, who's going to begin with Beethoven's Piano Sonata in C minor, Opus 10, number 1.